Welcome back to JR Morning. I'm Jeff Donofrio, President and CEO of Business Leaders for Michigan. Lloyd and I are now being joined by the fabulous Rachel Stewart, CEO of Gardner White Furniture. Rachel, thanks for joining us this early.
Of course. I'm always up.
We know you've got busy days. Yes. You're probably one of the most active CEOs in the Metro Detroit region.
I think more to the point, mother to a 6 and an 8-year-old who don't sleep.
That too. Hey, Rachel, you've been active. You've been growing. My gosh. GW Home in downtown Detroit is such a cool place. I go in there when I'm downtown. You've just crossed the Ohio state border. Hopefully you're secure. You have security when you go down there, but you're opening your first new store.
I don't speed, that's for sure.
Yes, we all have to watch that. Tell us about the growth of Gardner White, though.
I mean, I think the most important thing, one of my mentors always said, you build the team to grow the business, and that's exactly what we did. And now you're seeing that. You know, we've in the past, I'd say 2 years, really recruited a best-in-class leadership team, many of whom have moved to Michigan for the job, which is, I think, how we get population growth.
Thank
is
you for that.
For jobs. But yeah, now that we have the team, we're ready to do what we're doing.
And, you know, Rachel, Crane says you're on track to double your store count this year. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into finding, you know, the right location and, you know, the building it out, all the hiring of the workforce. What do you think could be done to make it easier for a business like yours to grow in Michigan?
Well, I mean, I would say first, I mean, we were really lucky in this sense, which is why we jumped on an opportunity. You know, when you're in furniture, it's not like a shoe store. You need 100,000 square feet to really show a depth of assortment. So a lot of these stores were value cities that had gone out of business and bankruptcy. So we took the opportunity because if not, to your point, it's really, really hard and really, really expensive to find stores like that. And, you know, we'd modeled them out in some of these markets and we actually wanted to be in the locations we're in. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing is really we're seeing it in residential use, seeing commercial construction costs are just really cost prohibitive right now. And everything we can do to take costs down, I think, is really important. I mean, I think for now, the average cost of permitting a home in the state of Michigan is now, I think, $112,000 before you've put anything in the ground.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. You talk about, you know, affordability, right?
Right.
It's top of
mind
for people, and these costs keep going up for folks like you who are trying to just serve customers, right? Folks who are trying to build homes.
Yep.
You of course are involved in the community beyond your own operations. You're on the Parade Company board. You're on the Business Leaders for Michigan board, Detroit Regional Chamber board. I could probably go on, and it would take the rest of the segment. But you know, what? How does that impact your work? I mean, what do you think is or why do you think it's so important to be involved like this?
I mean, I think first, you don't do it if you don't like it, right? And I really do like engaging on economic development and education in our state. And I think, you know, what we're seeing now isn't good. And it, you know, for the future health of the state, you better engage. You don't get to complain if you don't do something. But also, I think it's really important for a growing business. You know, we need population growth if our business is going to keep growing. So I think it's really important for all of us. I mean, and it's not just retail. It's pretty much every business. We need to be in a vibrant state, and you have to participate if you want it to be reality.
I understand you just did a fireside chat with the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, and, you know, those conversations can go in a lot of different directions. What came through for you, and what stuck with you afterward?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that, and it could have been one of those funny drinking games if you focus on how many times she said the word collaboration. But I say that she really means it. I mean, I think it comes off really authentically. And I think, you know, we need to get past some of the toxic politics where we actually do collaborate. We don't necessarily agree, but we find ways to compromise. And, you know, it's like every negotiation in business. If everyone leaves a little unhappy, it's probably a good outcome. And I think we haven't seen as much of that in politics as maybe we do in a boardroom, and we got to get there. But that was very clear that that's where her head was at.
Oh, that's great. And you know, Rachel, hopefully, I know a lot of my friends sometimes will watch debates from candidates and do drinking games. So hopefully nobody comes away too sloshed now that they know the code word here. But Let's do a lightning round here. So favorite Detroit restaurant.
Favorite Detroit restaurant. Let's say you're going to see a Italian theme lately, say Alpino or Medusa.
Oh, nice. Okay, what's your go-to dish there?
Oh, I mean, I'm a bolognese girl. I actually don't eat red meat, except I'll eat pasta bolognese.
All right. What about the best place in Michigan for the summer? What's your go-to?
My backyard.
Your backyard.
Hey,
okay.
I get that.
All right.
You know, everyone talks about travel plans in the summer. I want to go where? It's like the summer's the best yard.
All right. Well, what about, Detroit spot that everyone should go to before Labor Day?
It's a curse. My husband and my dad are both cyclists, and somehow I didn't manage to avoid it. But biking the city.
Okay.
You get to see it in a real way.
You know, Rachel, I got to ask you, you know, furniture is personal. And people are buying pieces for their homes and their families, sometimes, you know, major life moments. How has the customer changed over the last few years in your mind? And what are they looking for now that maybe they were not looking for before?
I think what they can get now and they're seeing is a lot more functionality, but in beautiful furniture. So my two favorite things in furniture are, first, there's embedded technology in everything, which I think is a holdover from COVID. But, like, you can have hidden storage. You can have hidden charging. But it doesn't look like hell. So I think that's thing one, is we're getting a lot more. And then the other thing is with the growth of performance fabrics. You know, it used to be you could never have white. You could never have light colors. You couldn't have patterns. But now you can build anything on them. It'll beat off and still look beautiful. So I think we're seeing a lot more fashion, which is really fun if you're off and get to sell it and show it.
And I know retail also has changed dramatically, Rachel. You know, you got online shopping now. It's these supply chain challenges and changing consumer habits. What's something people misunderstand about running a brick-and-mortar business today?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is I get asked all the time, like, is e-com killing you? And the answer is no, because we call our website Storefront Zero. So no one's going to walk in a door if they haven't pre-shopped you online. So I think it's less is e-com killing you, and it's more how does your website dance with your stores, and how do you embed technology through the buying experience, whether through the website or in the store.
And, you know, Gardner White has really been a part of Michigan Homes for generations. And as CEO, what do you want the company to represent, let's say 5-10 years down the line from now, beyond just selling furniture?
Sure. I mean, I think I really wanted to always 5-10 years and always be a real active member in the community. And I think it's really important to us that we sort of, even as we grow in these markets, we're spending a lot of time, you know, going in local to really understand the nuance of the market, the important priorities in the community, and be an active member wherever we are, which is different. I mean, it's not easy, but there's national changes. Just open a store, do the same advertising, have the same merchandising, and call it a day. That's not our model.
Rachel Stewart, CEO of Gardner White Furniture. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. You're always so, you know, upbeat, and we love the stores. You're expanding. We love what you do, not only providing the furniture for people in Detroit and the metro area around the state, but also giving back. And that's what I love about what Gardner White is all about.
That's right.
Thanks so much. Have a good day, guys.
You as well. And coming up, we're going to be speaking with Stephen Kirchner.
Stephen Kirchner, who is president and CEO of Boyne Resorts.
Okay.
A lot going on up there.
Yes.
Both this last winter, which was a great ski season, and this summer, of course, too.
Well, we'll talk about that coming up. But first, it's Eye on Engineering, brought to you by CSP, Rethinking Composites for a Lighter, Sustainable Future. Learn more at csp.com.
Vehicles are an emerging front in the data wars. Many cars and trucks harvest and profit from data about drivers, including about location and behavior. Some OEMs have landed in hot water as a result. General Motors, for instance, was fined $12.7 million by California when it sold driver data without asking for consent. Troy-based Slate, the electric truck startup, is saying no to selling data. A spokesman recently said that yes, Slate's smartphone app will collect information, but said it will only be used to improve the product. "We aren't building the app around data extraction," the company said. "We're building it around enabling or improving customer experiences." Slate's data architecture is so unusual that the trucks will not even have a modem. In addition to privacy, it's another cost not incurred in the build of an intentionally Spartan vehicle. Owners will be able to drive the vehicle whether they use the smartphone app or not. For SAE International, I'm Chris Klontz, and that's an Eye on Engineering.